So it's been a tough week on my part, or my family's part, and many of you as well, especially those that aren't here. But it's been an even tougher week, and it might seem curious for me, with this text, dealing with Jonah, and more than that, dealing with God as God pursues sinners, as God pursues this sinner, and shows me from this text exactly what I'm worthy of, exactly what I deserve, which is exactly what Jonah gets. In any event, one thing that comes to mind as I was working through this and as God's working on me, the sermon's been rewritten 3 times, by the way, for today, and this is it's kind of how it goes when God's pounding on you. Sometimes sermons come together great. Other times you barely can bunt and get on first base, and we'll see how this goes. Your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. That's a line that comes from Numbers chapter 32. I won't give you the story there, but that's where the line comes from. And the reality is, God knows you. God knows you. And He knows me. And that can be a real problem. It can be understood as a joy that our God knows us. But it's a terrific problem when what He knows is a sinful wretch, and that He is holy, and that He will judge sinners. That is a terrible reality. And our escape is only one, Jesus Christ Himself. We have nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. The same goes for these mariners. The same goes for Jonah. There is no escape from God. You can flee from the presence of Yahweh. You can flee from His face. You can run to Tarshish. But He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Your sins will find you out. Now, from the mariner's angle here, coming out from their standpoint, Jonah brings with him a whole truckload of problems for them. Right? He steps onto their boat and pays his fare, and he's bringing hell with him onto that boat. Little do they know. He gets on the boat and brings with him a loss of livelihood. Right? These mariners go out, and the storm's so bad, man, they're throwing their life away. Because if they get back to port, they're going to get back to port with nothing. Right? They've lost their money. They're ruined because of this trip. Because Jonah got on the boat with them, they're ruined financially. And that's the best case scenario. That's the best thing they got going, is that they're ruined financially. It only gets worse from there. Because the chances are much higher that they're going to die at sea. They're in the middle of this tempest that has them exceedingly fearful that they're going to die, such that they're going to throw their livelihood into the sea. And what's more, now they're staring down the barrel of Jonah, who's made his God mad at him and therefore them, and they got to throw him into the sea. The prophet of the God that's got this thing going, that's got this storm, that's ready to break up their boat. You can see that they're in an impossible position. They got nothing. The best case scenario is they barely make it back to land without their livelihood. More readily than that, they're going to die out there. And they're going to die with the God who is angry at them for killing his prophet. Their situation is bleak indeed. And so it is for the world. The people you run into at work, the people you stand next to or sit next to in the movie theater, you shop next to at Safeway or Fred Meyer, that's their life as well. Do you think they see it? Now, those mariners, they can see it because they're on the boat in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea with an enormous tempest knocking them around. They got it clearly right in front of them. But we don't ever have it clearly in front of us, do we? We mask ourselves and we ignore the facts. We ignore God and His holiness. Nobody believes in hell. Now, liberals put out the fires of hell long, long ago. God's just lovey-dovey and that's all there is to it. But the reality is, the God that hurled this tempest at them in the sea is the very God that they have to deal with, and the very God with whom you have to deal as well. And He is no joke. These mariners know He's no joke, and they fear, and they rightly fear. From Jonah's angle, when he finally wakes up, he finds that he's in the same situation, but worse, even worse than these mariners, because he is in out-and-out rebellion, sinning against knowledge. Right? These pagans have a certain amount of knowledge God's given us in just in creation and who we are and in the world we inhabit. So they're sinning against knowledge by not worshiping Him as well. But not the same as Jonah. Jonah's a prophet of the Lord. Jonah's instructed in the ways of the Lord and an instructor of others in the ways of the Lord. And you can maybe sense a bit of my conviction right in the middle of all that. And yet he is in rebellion against the Lord. And it's his very rebellion that brings God's anger and wrath and this tempest upon himself and upon the mariners in the boat. So he wakes up, which is to say he comes to the realization that he is in big trouble. Big trouble, big trouble, no way out. Middle of the ocean, in a boat. Have you been awakened to such a condition? Do you ever think of the holiness of God and your own sinfulness? We have 1,000 ways to make our sinfulness not seem so sinful to us, by way of comparison or whatever else. We have 1,000 ways to make sinfulness, our sin, not seem sinful and heinous. God doesn't buy any of it. God pushes it all away. It's all smoke and mirrors. The reality is, we're vile sinners. We have nothing to recommend ourselves to God. We have no hope because we're wicked before a holy God that will judge. Your sins will find you out. God, the Almighty, the one into whose hands we all will find ourselves. It's a terrible thing to find ourselves in the hands of the holy God because we are not holy. Jonah knows that when he wakes up. He's got a problem on his hands. A problem far bigger and deeper and heavier and so terrible that you can't put words to it. You're dealing with God. You're not just dealing with an angry parent, right? That kind of gets over the anger and we move on. But this is eternal. God is, and He always is, and He's always angry with the wicked. They're under His wrath. Oh, what a terrible, terrible predicament we find ourselves in as fallen sinners. We're done for, just like Jonah. There's nothing left to be done. We're out here in the middle of the sea, being tossed around. Think about that. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time on boats. I'm pretty much a landlubber. What is the experience of being out there in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea with this great storm on them? Oh, I don't even want to think about it. And for Jonah, that's just the beginning. Because it gets far worse than that. We think of him being swallowed by the fish almost like a children's story. Like I should have a felt board up here and have a fish come along and swallow Jonah. Now, okay. Think for a minute. Just think about Jonah's experience. He says, hey, this whole thing here is because of me. So throw me overboard. Which is to say, I'll go die a terrible death of drowning in this like crazy water out here. But that's not what God has in mind. He's got even worse than that in mind. Imagine being swallowed by a huge fish. Going down into that fish's belly. And however he's able to be down there, surrounded by who knows what, in utter darkness and utter stench. And this is maybe one of the worst ways to die. That's what God has done to Jonah. Which is to say, that's what Jonah has done to Jonah, because he will not repent. He keeps fleeing from the face of God. Are we any better off? Don't we do the exact same sort of thing? Kind of pretend like God doesn't care that much, or pretend like He's not paying attention and pursue our sin? I tell you, and I want you to listen, that is dangerous in the extreme, in the absolute extreme, to pretend as if God doesn't really care about sin when we know from the Scripture that He does. He is a just judge and a terrible judge. Oh, that we would get that. That we would hate sin and flee from it because God is terrible and He hates it and He will punish it. However, from God's angle, you've got the Mariners sunk, they're done. You've got Jonah, even worse. But God is a God of repentance. He gives the gift. He gives what we can't give. What it's impossible for us to generate, He gives it. Salvation and repentance. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. So reading verse 28, it's a parable of the two sons. Jesus says, what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he said, I will not. But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes believe him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. There are a couple things to think about with this. First is this, the simple reality that the first son said, I'm not going, and then changed his mind and went. And that was the Father's will. That pleased the Father. That gives hope. Because as I look at my life and I look at the strengths I have trying to overcome sin and the routine failures and just that in that same vein, it's hopeless. I don't have it, and I can understand God's anger against it, and it all makes sense, and it's scary. But God is a God who gives repentance. So let me tell you, if you're in sin, stop it. Stop it. When you find yourself in sin, stop it. Turn to your God. Turn and repent. There's room for repentance. God gives that grace. And it is He who gives it. It's possible to say no right now, but yes, right around the corner. And that's what you have here with the first son. It's also quite possible to say yes and not do what God requires, just like the second son. What are we more like? What are you more like? Are you closer to the prostitutes and the tax collectors here? Or are you closer to the self-righteous religious elite? And I know what I'm closer to, the self-righteous religious elite. Gosh, I'm one of them. You know, we can think we have it together. And man, I've studied the Bible and I've studied theology and this all. But all that counts for nothing. It's dung. It's nothing. Because it's all my wickedness. It's all in me. Christ Jesus is my salvation. Christ Jesus is your salvation. He's the salvation of prostitutes. He is the salvation for tax collectors. He's the salvation for self-righteous religious leaders as well. Where do you fit into that? What are your temptations? What are your sins for real? The ones that you don't really want anyone else to know about. The ones you don't want to talk about. The ones you probably maybe prefer not to think about most of the time. God knows them. God knows them. Though maybe you have said no to God, there's still time to say yes to God. In His mercy, there's time to turn. May He be merciful to us, that we should repent of our sins, even the ones that we cherish, that we shouldn't cherish them. Maybe there's a start right there. Maybe there's a starting point, a foothold right there, that maybe those sins that we have in our lives that we cherish and hide, that we would pray, God, make me hate them. Make me hate them. Make me hate sin because I love. you because you first loved me and Jesus Christ. Now we see even in the first chapter there of Jonah, there's hope. It seems like a dire and hopeless situation. Yet what do we find? As soon as they toss Jonah overboard, it goes calm. They're saved. They're saved from the great tempest. The thing that was they thought for sure was going to tear the boat apart and kill them all just went away. And so it is in Jesus Christ. That this great wrath of God that abides over us because of our sinfulness goes away. It goes away. It's calmed. The wrath of God is calmed. And we have that even the mariners who say they fear God there and they worship Him and they make their vows. Like this, it's a day of salvation for these guys because of an unlikely reason. A prophet who's in sin and will not repent, who gets thrown overboard, as far as they know, to his death. And I mean, we don't know if they saw the fish eat him or not. I didn't say. But that's how. It's Jonah, this prophet of the Lord, this foolish prophet of the Lord, coming through, making a mess. And through that mess, God shines light. God gives reprieve. But for Jonah, the way is harder yet. He's not done. Jonah's not done in his rebellion. He has to go down to the depths of the depths in a fish's belly. How will it be for you? Will you hang on to your sin until God drives you into the depths of the depths before you finally give over? Or will you be more like these pagan mariners who can recognize right away that they're sunk, they're done for, and God has saved them? Your sins will find you out. God will pursue you. And if you're in Christ Jesus, He'll pursue you and pursue you and redeem you. You can make it as hard as you want. You can make it as hard as you want. And God knows how to play hardball. God knows how to get in your craw. God knows how to make it hurt, if that's what it takes for you. Won't you repent sooner than that? Won't you confess and come free sooner than that, rather than coming down like Jonah into the very depths of the earth? Because at the foot of the mountains is how he describes himself in chapter 2. All the way down. Will you go all the way down? Or by God's grace, will you come fresh and repent now? Now. Every now. Every day now. Walking freshly before God. Seeking His righteousness in your own life. Your sins will find you out. Judgment is sure to come. Hell is a real place where real people really go. Have you ever taken some time to think about hell? Kind of work the idea through a little bit? It doesn't take very long before it's unthinkable. How many people do you pass day by day that are sleepily, happily going right there? They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in God. Yet hell waits for them. And a God who is wroth is above them. We have in our hands people of God. Just like Jonah, this foolish prophet of God right now. Just like him, we have the words of life. God has given us life and sent us out. We have a mission. You have a mission. To let other people know their sins will find them out. God will judge for sure. And that is a grave reality. But God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has taken foolish, dead sinners, given us life, drawn us into salvation, drawn us into his family. And so we are. God's people, redeemed by Jesus Christ from what is certainly our desert, which is to say hell itself and judgment. So do remember, people of God, as Christians, your sins will find you out. God won't let you just persist in your wickedness. He will drive after you and get you. You can make it as hard as you want. By hiding from Him, I suggest not doing that. I call you rather to the freedom of repentance. Repentance is freedom from sin. And Jesus Christ gives that gift. May we pursue it. May He give it. Amen. Our God and our Father, give us repentance. Help us, unlike Jonah, to be soft-hearted, to be ready to repent, to stop sinning when we notice that we're sinning, to stop planning secretly to do things that we know are dishonoring to You. Father, give us the grace to walk before You and be blameless. Oh, and that's a wonderful freedom, to know that our sins are covered and that we've been redeemed in the One who has made sin for us. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive our worship in Him. Build us up in Him. Make us more like Him. For we pray it in His name and for His sake. And amen.